David Reske, CEO of NowSpeed Marketing, and welcome to this edition of In the Now, where we focus on uncovering the myths and misunderstandings of marketing and leadership with some of the world's most interesting people. And my guest today is Louis Gudima. Louis is the author of the book Bullseye Marketing, and he's also a fractional CMO focused on building brands and generating leads for B2B startups and growth stage companies. Louis, welcome to the show.
Hi, David. Nice to join you.
Thanks for being here. Really appreciate you taking the time. I want to talk about inbound marketing and social media and lead generation for B2B companies based on your experience. And you and I talked about an issue, and I wanted to frame this in the Mythbuster question that we really start these shows about. And the question I want to talk about today is around inbound and social media marketing. Is inbound and social media marketing the best way for B2B companies to generate leads and really launch their companies and grow?
Well, I think for both of them, their days passed as being the best channel. And so I wrote a blog post for one of the local VC firms, Viewpoint, which is a big backer of SaaS companies, 5 years ago, called Inbound Has Passed Its Expiration Date. And social media really, for brands, for B2B brands, really started to decline about 10 years ago. So the platforms really don't give much amplification to a post from a brand on social media since that time, because they want you to advertise. You know, they said, well, look, you know, every other platform, companies have to advertise to reach their customers. You can do it here too. And so literally about 1 in 50 of your followers will even see your post on social media. And in inbound, you know, that was a technique that was very useful in 2005, 2010, you know, a few years after that. But the amount of search competition now, there's been such a tsunami of content, and something like ChatGPT just makes it even worse. Google gives a priority to the big brand and the established brand. And it's something I talk about in my book. And so for small and mid-sized companies, unless you are the market leader, it's rare that you're going to get top ranking. And if you're not in the top three, that's where over 50% of clicks happen. A study from Ahrefs showed that only 1 in 20 posts even gets to page one, let alone the top three, in 1 year. So, you know, if you're generating content on to get high SEO rankings with inbound, you really should be looking at a multi-channel approach and not focusing just on social or on inbound.
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges there. Let's dig into those one at a time. Let's just talk about social media. So social media itself, you know, especially for B2B, LinkedIn has become the preferred platform. When you're talking about like the challenges in using social media, do you think equally about LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and the others? Or do you think that there's some advantage in moving, you know, doing more work in LinkedIn? Or do you think all are, you know, not going to be that effective?
First of all, it really depends from company to company and industry to industry. So, for example, if you are selling SaaS marketing software, you know, that's an audience that's on social media, and it's probably active on LinkedIn. It probably used to be active on Twitter. It may not be very much anymore. So, for example, I know Pete Caputa, who's the CEO of Databox. And he posts, and he talks about this all the time, he posts to LinkedIn every day. Very long, thoughtful posts based on the data that Databox has collected from thousands of customers. He gets a great response. He gets lots of leads from that. He's in the perfect space. He's got the content that's valuable. So he can do that. That's where his customers are. But I was working for another company that was trying to sell to the large food producing companies and meat producing companies. Well, these are companies that, you know, have plants in Arkansas, and that's where a lot of their people are. They're not active on social media. Literally, I was amazed to find out that the turnover in these factories is 150% a year. which I didn't think was possible to have a business doing that. So when they come in the morning, they're not interested in the latest post or tweet. They're interested in whether anyone showed up to work that day. And literally, you know, organic social media, you know, has almost no impact in that industry. So you have to look at your industry. I do think that paid social can be tremendously valuable. You know, you can really target very well on LinkedIn, Facebook, and other platforms using paid social and get that message in front of the people that you want.
So it sounds like you're saying in some cases, if your target market is right there, organic social can make a difference, but you have to make a massive investment in getting there. You can't just do a post a month or a couple posts a month and expect anything to happen.
Well, and I think it's more valuable if you have one of your company leaders become an industry thought leader like Pete Caputa has become, rather than your brand posting. That's the way to do it. You, as an individual, engage with people you need to connect with, comment on their content, post your own valuable content, and do it that way rather than the brand comment and posting.
So if you're committed to being an industry thought leader and posting significantly and your target market is using social media, there can be a place for it. But for a lot of other companies, it sounds like your experiences, they kind of expect magic to happen with a few posts and some, you know, on social media, and the time for that magic has kind of passed.
Yeah, well, it's not just my experience. It's what the data shows. You know, the data shows that the platforms aren't amplifying the posts of brands, because on Facebook, people want to see what's up with their friends and family. On LinkedIn, they want to see what's up with colleagues. They're not very interested in posts from brands.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Well, let's talk about inbound. So is there a path, like the path that you talked about with the example with Pete, is there a path to success with inbound? So producing enough content to get SEO visibility, to get free traffic, to grow your business for a young company? Or is that really, you know, too much investment and not worth the trouble?
I think the better path in terms of content marketing, which is what, you know, is another name for inbound. I think the better path is quality over quantity. It's very easy to produce a lot of quantity these days. It's very, you know, you can put out dozens of blog posts and you may not move the needle at all. But if you can really generate one or two or five pieces that are really valuable for your customers, that really answer a burning question that they have, a problem that they're dealing with, and promote those can be much more valuable for a startup or any company than 20 Me Too blog posts.
Yeah. I can definitely see that. Let's talk a little bit about what does work. So if young companies are struggling to get, you know, visibility, brand visibility, engagement, leads, and they can't really rely on these tools like organic social or content marketing for SEO, what is, you know, what's your advice to those companies? How do you kind of guide them into what really is going to work?
So usually multi-channel marketing, you know, with a minimum of four or five channels, is going to be much more effective than trying to just pick one, you know, magic channel that's going to do it all for you. So when I'm working with a company, usually I'll, and the other thing that you have to realize, David, is the balance between long-term and short-term. So everybody wants marketing to be one-to-one. They want to say, well, we're going to put in X dollars this month and we're going to get X leads and sales from that. But a lot, 95% of your customers are not buying today. And that's just the reality of almost any market, because they're happy with their vendor, or they're not interested in what you're selling, or they just bought it, you know, 6 months ago or whatever. They're not going to buy it again today. But they will likely buy it in 6 months, 12 months, 2 or 3 years, whatever. And so you have to have a balance between the short-term lead generation marketing to get in front of that 5% and get them to engage with you because they are buying today, and to build up what's called your mental availability, which is beyond awareness. Mental availability is not just that they know of you, but that they have a inclination, a high preference for you, And when they do decide to buy, they're going to be looking at you at the top of their short list, and they're going to be coming to you. Let me give you a quick example of that. So I was, after I had a marketing agency for a dozen years, and we pivoted it to become a SaaS company. And then I sold it. And then I became a VP of biz dev at a mid-sized marketing agency. And the first call I got was from a guy who said, "I've been following you guys, you know, for several years. I've seen your CEO speak. I read your blog. You know, I really like your approach. We're finally ready to do something, and I want to talk with you." Well, that's the result of long-term marketing. And that's, you know, because that was an easy deal to close. We closed that deal in 2 or 3 weeks. And it wasn't because of my brilliance as a salesperson. It was because the company had invested in brand building and those kinds of content marketing and other things, and hadn't just focused on how many leads can we generate this month. So you want to create that high volume content. You want to amplify it with social media ads and other posts. You want to use email marketing. You want to be hosting podcasts, you know, partnering on podcasts, perhaps with a trade association or with 2 or 3 other companies that are selling to the same industry. You know, you want to be looking at least 4 or 5 channels. One company I was working with, a startup, I implemented this approach, and the sales leader was kind enough to not tell me. He was highly skeptical. But 3 months later, he told me, you know, that they were getting all sorts of leads from exactly the Fortune 500 companies we were targeting. And they were getting comments like, "I see you everywhere. You guys really have it going on. You know, I figured I had to talk to you." And that guy, who is a startup investor himself, has now brought me into 3 other companies because he's seen how successful this approach is. So that's what you need to do is, you know, your customers are going to be in a lot of different places. There's not just, you know, even if you have your personas, those people, some of them are on social media, everybody gets emails, some of them are on these kinds of sites and others and so forth. You need to get in front of your customers a lot over a long period of time to build that mental availability in addition to your short-term lead generation activities.
Yeah, and I think that makes so much sense, you know, conceptually. I mean, it seems like if I think about your description, maybe 2 dimensions, you're saying multi-channel approach, not just put all your eggs in, like, you know, a social media post, right? So multi-channel approach, and then think broader about the buying process, right? So, you know, the other dimension is don't just try to get the people, the 3% who are in the market now, market to people who are going to be in the market 3 months from now, 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, right? To market to the broader audience, right? So it's kind of it's a broader approach. So how do you, you know, when you're talking to CEOs, you know, that you're a customer if you're a CMO, how do you kind of help them understand that this broader investment is going to pay off in the long term? Because often I see CEOs and sales leaders, they kind of want to invest in marketing and see the return on investment within 30 days, right? I want to buy the ad. I want somebody to click. I want somebody to convert. I want somebody to buy. How many conversions did you get for me lately, right? So how do you kind of talk to them about that and help them see that broader perspective of the of the long-term ROI?
So this is where my bullseye marketing approach comes in. And this is why I developed it, because I was, you know, working with companies and all these techniques that were getting buzz, like social media and inbound, weren't producing results either at all or very quickly. Whereas there were other things that I could do that produced results very quickly. You know, I could improve their messaging on their website. It costs nothing or almost nothing. We could start to use email marketing, which is extremely, you know, cheap. We could have better outbound sales efforts like teleprospecting and so forth. So in the first phase of my Bullseye Marketing book, I talk about 8 or 9 programs that are very inexpensive. They're very fast to implement, and they tend to move the needle pretty quickly. And so that was the motivation. And then the second ring of my bullseye is intent-based marketing. And that's, you know, mostly Google search ads, but, you know, possibly using intent data from other sources. And then the third phase is the long-term brand building and building that mental availability. And by doing things in that order, you can produce results usually in a 3 to 6 month period. As a fractional CMO, my minimum engagement is 6 months, because I know it's going to take 2 or 3 months to get, you know, everything kind of teed up, get the messaging straightened out, get the website cleaned up, you know, figure out the email lists, and, you know, they might need a CRM or they might need a marketing automation program and things like that. It's going to take 2 or 3 months to get that all teed up. And then when we start to run the program, they're not necessarily going to be successful, you know, in the first week. You know, I want to have another 3 months to kind of fine tune and see what happens. But in 3 to 6 months, you can produce results. And that's going to improve your credibility with the CEO. And, you know, part of it goes into picking good clients, right? If you have, when you're having the discussions early on where they're like, no, it's all about, you know, now, I don't care about a year from now, you know, well, maybe that's not the client you want to be working for. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to understand that some of these programs are going to take longer, but in the long run, their business is going to grow faster or larger than it ever would if they only focused on short term. And there's just so many studies and research, you know, that backs this up.
I, you know, the bullseye marketing approach seems so wise, because you're doing the short term fixes, right? The low hanging fruit. You're thinking medium term about like intent based ads that are going to get drive leads. And then you're thinking long term about the brand and engaging people with content and maybe even leveraging some of these other tools, but for a long-term view of that. What do you see happening with clients, or maybe not clients, but companies? What happens when a client just does the short-term? Let's say, and then I'll ask about if they just do the long-term, but let's say they say, oh, that's really good, Lewis, but you know what? I'm only going to do the short-term stuff. Help me fix the website and the messaging and get my email campaign started. Not interested in the long-term investments to go. What happens to that company if they kind of just take those short-term path?
Well, a lot of these things are things that are, you know, each company is one data point, right? So you can't say exactly what's going to happen to that company, what would have happened to that company if they had done something differently. But, you know, all the data shows that they're going to grow more slowly than they would have otherwise. And, you know, there's no way 5 years from now to say, you know, you would be bigger if you had done things differently 5 years ago. You know, if you had planted that tree, there would be a tree today, is, you know, is not really something you can, you know, probably say, but that's what it all shows. I did my own study of B2B companies and how many channels they were using. And my own study aligned exactly with all this other data. It found that the companies that used the most marketing channels, this was in the SaaS industry, the companies that were using the most marketing channels were growing 5 times faster than the companies that were using the fewest marketing channels. Wow. And so that's a difference between, say, 15% a year growth and 3% a year growth. So the CEO may be saying, well, we're growing 3 or 4% a year. But if they had a more robust balance between long and short term, they would, they might be growing 3, 4, 5 times as fast.
Yeah. And I think that makes so, you know, so much sense. It feels like, you know, in my own experience with our marketing, it's clear that it's hard to predict that just one channel is going to do it all for you. And I look at like where leads come from all the time. It's always all channels, right? Yeah. So you get leads from organic search, you get leads from direct, you get leads from referrals, you get leads from paid ads, you know, content, social, it's really almost always all channels. And so if you're not you're not taking advantage of that, you're kind of missing out on all of those people who could be potential buyers, right? In all those channels.
Oh, totally. You know, HubSpot's the, you know, poster child of inbound marketing, right? They're the ones who invented it. They call their conference Inbound. But if you look at what HubSpot was doing, you know, even 10 years ago, they were using like 10 different channels. They weren't using just inbound. They were spending millions of dollars a year to promote their content. They had a very robust partner program that became one of their biggest, you know, the partner channel became one of their biggest drivers of new business. You know, they had a very active teleprospecting group. They weren't just doing inbound and waiting for something to come in, you know, some lead to come in and come to their website and buy. They had a lot going on.
Yeah. And it's worked very well for them, but you're right. It's the multi-channel, the omni-channel approach that's going to be the thing that really makes the most difference. Let's talk a little bit about measurement though. Let's say a client is following your advice. They're thinking short-term, low-hanging fruit, mid-term, long-term. They're really addressing buyers all across the buying cycle. And they're getting kind of leads, you know, through multiple channels like that. So they're kind of putting all of that really into practice. How do you measure the results, or how do you think about measuring the results, the KPIs? Because you're going to get data as a marketer that that shows you, you know, the cost per click, the cost per lead, the conversion rates for every one of those channels and every piece of content. How do you make sense of all that data to think about, you know, what's effective in this multi-channel approach?
Well, I just started working with a client about 4 or 5 months ago, and we launched a new website and programs after about 3 months, as I was saying, fairly typical. And in the first month, we tripled the number of new qualified leads. So that was pretty good data. The CEO's reaction was, well, I guess marketing works if you do it right.
Yep.
You know, but like you said, David, it's going to vary. You're going to see 1 month a lot of leads coming in from podcasts. Another month, you're going to see leads coming in from ads. Another month from, you know, some other events or trade shows or, you know, teleprospecting. It's going to bounce all over the place. So obviously you do need short-term leads. This is why the head of sales that I mentioned has brought me into, you know, several other companies, because he's seen how effective this can be. In terms of the long term, you need to look at some things like organic search traffic to your website, because most companies, the number one search term for most companies is their name. And so if your brand is improving, then probably the traffic to your website, the organic traffic to your website's improving too. You should be looking for more backlinks to your site. You should be looking for more social chatter. You should be looking for more sharing of your content. More people, you know, some of it's subjective. You know, your salespeople will say things like, oh, you know, people are saying to me, they're seeing us everywhere. That's, you know, I like hearing that. You know, your deals should become easier to close. You have more trust. You have more, you know, people. One of the advantages of advertising is it produces with the audience, with the customer, a sense of you as a reputable business that's going to be around. And for a small company, that may be one of the biggest problems they have, especially for a startup. A startup has to overcome that sense of, well, you're going to be around in 18 months. So all of these things are ways that you can measure it. You know, the things that you mentioned, like cost per click, you know, those are very campaign-centric metrics. And so look at a little higher, you know, go up one or two levels and look at some of those metrics.
So you can measure each campaign or the metrics for each campaign or marketing programs as a whole, but it sounds like what you're saying is you need to also take a holistic view of how they're all working together. because, you know, your direct ads are building your brand, your website content is driving engagement, your content is helping your SEO, all of those things are, maybe these are making you building trust to help improve your sales process, and all these things really work together. So, you know, I think one of the challenges that I've seen is, you know, that you're absolutely right that this complete approach is really what makes sense. It's when you have very small companies who need to achieve incredible things to build their brand and get all the leads and get started, but only have a little bit of money to be able to do that. And that can be hard, right? Because you have to make a single small bet, and they don't always make the right bet, right?
Well, if you can only afford one bet, you may be having more problems than how to work out your marketing strategy.
Right.
The number one job of the CEO is keeping the lights on.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes companies wait too long to do this. They're like, we're like up against the wall. You got to save us. You know, that's not realistic.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of digital marketing today also is that a lot of these channels are relatively inexpensive to do. So you can
crazy inexpensive. Ridiculously inexpensive.
Right. I mean, compared to, you and I have been doing this for a while, but think about like the costs 20 or 30 years ago to do magazine ads, right? Or let's talk about trade publication ads, or let's talk about going to a major trade show, you know, those costs, you know, or television advertising, those costs are huge. And you can get into, you know, these digital programs for so much less. So yeah, I don't know. Well, why would companies skimp and just do a little bit? It's kind of hard to understand that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I usually, you know, need a client to have a media budget of a few thousand dollars a month at a minimum, but it doesn't have to start with tens of thousands.
Yeah.
You know, or hundreds of thousands a month. And usually I'm going to focus the initial efforts either by industry or by geography or something. So we may be marketing to 5 or 10,000 people.
Yeah.
And you can reach 5 or 10,000 people, you know, many times a month, you know, for pretty modest dollars.
Yeah, it's incredible. Sometimes when I talk to a new client, and their advertising budget is less than I spend on dinner going out every month. Like, what are you doing? Like, yeah, think a little broader. I think that the other thing that I see often is that happens when companies don't believe in marketing. They don't have any trust in it. They don't care about it. They're just putting a little money in it, and they just they don't really understand the impact that it can make. And it sounds like what you're doing is you're helping them think about a holistic investment program that really is going to drive results. And when they're doing that, they can believe in it, then they can make significant, much more significant investments that'll change the course of direction of the company, right? That's what you're
talking about. Yeah, and they have to have some patience too. They have to understand, you know, again, like the tree, it's not going to grow in a week or two. But I tell clients when we're launching campaigns at the beginning, I tell them, you're going to get bored with this before the market has even noticed it. And so just, you are not the customer, and your personal reactions, I'm sorry, are not important. You know, it takes time to break through. When I had my agency, I did some promoting underwriting on public radio in Boston. And I had the experience where people would call up and they'd say, oh, we need, we have a new marketing project. We need to do it. And I heard you on, it was such wonderful timing because, you know, you were there on NPR this morning. I was like, well, actually we've been on NPR for the last 5 months, but your mind didn't pay attention to it because you didn't need it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of getting absorbed and maybe in the background, but, you know, you just have to be out there. So you're there at, you know, at the right time, for people who are ready.
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Well, this has been a great conversation, Lewis. I really appreciate it. A couple of my major takeaways here are don't put all your eggs in one basket, especially the wrong basket, right? Think more broadly about marketing. Give it time and think about the long-term buying experience and make those investments for the short term, the medium term, and the long term. So clearly you've got a lot of experience here. I'm looking forward to reading your book. And thank you again for being part of this conversation. If people want to learn more about you or your services, how would they get in contact with you?
They can learn about my book, which I was thrilled this morning to find out had just won another award.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, it had previously been named one of the best marketing planning books of all time by Book Authority. And it just won the 2023 Goody Business Book Award for Marketing and Branding.
Wow, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I was very happy about that. If you go to louisgadima.com, you can find out more about it, and you can buy it wherever award-winning books are sold. and you can contact me at louisgadima@gmail.com. My business website is revenueassociates.biz.
Perfect. Well, Lewis, thanks again for taking the time. I really appreciate the conversation.
Thanks for having me, David.